You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it is Friday the 6th of June 2025 on a day where the Australian share market fell about a third of a percent. The S&P ASX 200 down 0.27%, 8,515. We'll have the details with Heath Moss from HLM Investments in a few moments, including what he thinks of the Virgin Australia IPO. But first to Tesla. Shares plummeting 14% overnight in the US following a public spat between the US president and CEO of Tesla, which ultimately culminated in threats by Donald Trump to pull government contracts of Musk-related companies. So for more, I spoke with Dan Ives. He's the global head of tech research at Wedbush Securities in the US.
I mean, look, when you look at Musk relative to SpaceX, Tesla, his AI initiatives, I mean, we're talking, you know, not just tens of billions of dollars. I mean, we're talking about things that could ultimately be hundreds of billions, you know, when it's all said and done. And I think the reality is that no one ever expected that this bromance would turn into what's right now a UFC battle. Hopefully cooler heads prevail, but these are not two people that tend to say they're sorry.
Wasn't Elon Musk's move away from the government meant to be all about spending more time at Tesla as CEO to perhaps lift investor, shareholder confidence? That doesn't seem to be happening, or is it?
Look, the irony is that Musk chose Tesla. Investors were happy. I mean, he was focused on autonomous, focused on robotics. Then all of a sudden, once he started opposing this bill, it was a shot across the bow at Trump. And that's why Tesla's stock was down so much today, because investors don't want to see Musk focused on politics. And now the last thing you want to see is make an enemy out of Trump. And this is basically going from a bromance to, you know, what looks like something that's really starting to go downhill.
When you look at the Tesla business, what are the fundamental problems in the company? Because we know that Tesla model cars, the sales are falling, particularly around the world and especially in Europe, for example.
Yeah, look, Musk and Tesla have faced demand issues in China, in the US. The brand issues related to Doge. I mean, that's the irony here relative to Musk, you know, in terms of some of the brand issues that he got by being in the Trump administration. But when you look at the EV tax credit, it was almost a foregone conclusion that was going to be something that was going to go away. But look, Musk, this continues to be a twilight zone. The way he's handled it, the way that it's kind of gone back and forth with, you know, with Trump, and doesn't feel like it's ending anytime soon.
Are you an investor or a shareholder in Tesla? And if so, or if not, you know, what do you think shareholders are thinking about the company at the moment?
Yeah, look, as an analyst and obviously bullish on Tesla for, you know, from the beginning, I could tell you what I heard from shareholders today is why? Why now? Why go after Trump? Why make an enemy with Trump? Getting on his bad side. It's the last thing investors want to see in a regulatory environment like this. And hopefully cooler heads prevail, but it feels like it could get worse before it gets better.
That's Dan Ives there from Wedbush Securities speaking to us from the United States. Now, for an Australian perspective, I spoke with Alex Pollock, the Chief Investment Officer at Loftus Peak.
Well, the government contracts are not in Tesla. They're in a bit in the SpaceX business, which is the rocket ship business. So the rocket ship business is not in the Tesla company. The Tesla company, the value of the Tesla shares is falling independently on that, of what he's saying about SpaceX. And he's saying that because I will, you know, pull your self-driving capability in one of the states. I can't remember which one. You know, and Donald Trump can make trouble for Elon Musk with his self-driving taxis, you know, if he chooses to, and he's already come out on Truth and said, I choose to. So that's what's making the Tesla price fall. But that's different to the government contracts for SpaceX. They're two different things. SpaceX is not a listed company.
Musk stepping away from the government was to focus more of his commitment on Tesla, right? But it doesn't really sound like he's doing this right now. Is that right?
Well, no. I mean, you know, if he's not going to be in the government and he's not going to be, you know, part of the government process, then what is he doing, you know, taking up Tesla CEO time, which is his actual day job, you know, engaging in a, you know, a fight, quite a vicious one, actually, with the US president. I mean, if you're out of that game because you're no longer in DOGE, you know, Department of Government Efficiency, if you're out of that, then be out of it and concentrate on your day job. Don't try and do two. He has a number of day jobs. He's got SpaceX, he's got X, you know, he's got the tunnel company, he's got he's got an AI company, he's got a lot of stuff going on. You know, spending time getting into a fight with somebody that can damage your company by pulling government contracts away from it is a very unwise thing to do. And you see that reflected in the Tesla price, which is, you know, effectively all but halved in the last 2 days.
And in saying that and looking at that Tesla price, what do you think management's thinking? What do you think investors are thinking? And what about yourself? I mean, does Loftus hold any Tesla shares?
We have not held Tesla for 4.5 years now, and we haven't held it for 4.5 years on valuation grounds. And just to be clear, only a quarter-ish of the Tesla stock price is the car company itself. The other three quarters are tied up with the robo-taxi business. I guess you could say that's cars, but it's a separate line of business, robo-taxis, plus the robots themselves. So that's where the other three quarters of the value is. And again, if the robotaxi business is under threat because of an argument with Donald Trump, who can make his government permissions with respect to autonomous vehicles operating in, you know, across states in America, then that's a very unwise thing for him to be doing. And that's what's tanking the Tesla price.
So how does Tesla turn all of this around, and what do you think about the company?
Well, let me do the first part of it, the second part of it first. What we think about the company is that there's too much hype and expectation in the stock price. As I say, only a quarter of the value in the shares, you know, if you like $70 or $75 or maybe it's a bit more or less, is to do with Tesla cars. And they themselves, that business itself has been tanking in the last couple of months as the Elon brand has been problematic with a number of former, you know, who used to buy Teslas, you know, rich Democrats and liberals who, you know, loved the idea of getting off petrol, et cetera, fossil fuels. Those people, you know, there's a bumper sticker, famous one, floating around saying, I bought this Tesla before Elon Musk, you know, did what he did. So those people, the Tesla core business, which is the sale of Tesla cars itself, is under a lot of pressure. So that part of the business is falling. And then to have, you know, the government contract side of the business related to robo-taxis, et cetera, falling, that's also problematic. And, you know, where does it leave the robotics business, which may or may not have required government contracts? We don't know the answer to that, but it probably did. And on it goes. So you know, you need to pick your battles, right?
So what does the company need to do then?
Well, I've read commentary, you know, to the effect that, you know, Elon may have to step aside as CEO. Well, you know, yes, maybe, because, you know, you have to de-Elonify the company, if you like, in order to win back those government contracts. But Elon is the mastermind behind all of this stuff. Taking him out as an access, that would, you know, certainly hurt the Tesla price as well. So, you know, you just want to pick your battles.
That is Alex Pollack from Loftus Peak. So for the past week, the Australian share market threatened to break new ground by being just points away from a record, but today it fell. The S&P ASX 200 down by 0.27% to 8,515. Today was also the day Virgin Australia launched its prospectus, making it public as it seeks to raise a fair bit of money to relist on the Australian share market. For that and more, I spoke with Heath Moss, portfolio manager at HLM Investments.
Yeah, look, we've been knocking on the door all week of those record highs, and we just can't seem to crack them at the moment. Whenever we hit some resistance like this, like old records and that, sometimes it takes a little bit for us to get through them. We need a little bit of a push, whether it's psychological or some other reason. I believe this week it's more environmental because, you know, there's been a raft of softer US data, and we do have the NFP jobs print tonight. So I think the market's just being a bit cautious and a bit timid, waiting to see what that data is like. And I have no doubt we'll break it in the near term, and it may be as soon as we reopen on Tuesday, given, you know, if that data is positive or not.
Still, it's had a spectacular recovery from the low reached in April. Well, what's changed?
Well, since Liberation Day, the market's got more clarity around the tariffs and the and economic policy from the US government, and it's been able to price risk more appropriately, whereas it couldn't do that before. So we've also seen the tariff extremes on Liberation Day wound right back, dialed right back. So that means it should have less economic impact and be concentrated to a quarter or two. Well, the impact should be concentrated to a quarter or two. And also the tariffs themselves don't have as much impact on Australia. And we're more worried about the economic fallout in the US and globally, and the heightened risk there. And those have also dissipated. So we've also hit, here in Australia, hit a rate cutting cycle. So that's helped boost our economy, well, not so much of our economy, but our markets, and seen as bullish for earnings moving forward.
I guess still, though, as highlighted by the Trump-Musk tit-for-tat escalation that I spoke about in detail earlier in the podcast today, isn't the issue here still about the US economy and how much debt the US is carrying? And to what extent is that concerning analysts?
Yeah, look, I believe the market has turned its focus more to the health of the US economy and where it goes from here and what the impacts of the tariffs will be, how deep and for how long. Data moving forward over the next few weeks is quite pivotal. And that starts tonight with the NFP data. If its data starts coming in too soft, then we could see another quick 5 to 10% pullback. But I believe it would have to be quite bad for that, because I think the markets will look through a lot of the near-term data because we know it will be soft this quarter. It just wants to make sure there's no nasty surprises. So as for the debt situation, it is simmering along in the background, but I don't think it is a major focus. At worst, it could cause a yield spike, which caused some trouble in the long end of the bond market, where buyers want a higher term premium for the bonds. But even then, even if like the new big beautiful bill adds say $200 to $400 billion of extra spending to their budget over the next few years, then the tariff income should more than offset that.
Another big story out today, Virgin Australia officially seeking to relist on the Australian share market before the end of the month. It's lodged its prospectus seeking to raise $685 million at $2.90 per share. Give it a market cap of about $2.3 billion. What's your take?
Yeah, this came across my desk earlier in the week, the offer, and it was very well supported. Almost as soon as it came across my desk, a few hours later, it was gone. Bain Capital sort of pushing this IPO, they're dropping their holding from 70% to around 40%. And basically, it's just a way for them to realise part of their investment to get out. And generally, when these sorts of private equity firms are looking to get out, then, you know, it does seem to indicate the top in the valuation for that particular company. However, it was at a cheap valuation. The Virgin Australia did have a profit of around $500 million last financial year, which puts it around 7x forward earnings. And look, there has been a real lack of IPOs on the Australian market, especially of size in the last few years. So I think investors were really, really hungry for something of size. And coming into the Virgin, I mean, it's going to have its headwinds, mainly from margin squeeze and as prices come down, you know, for the airlines as competition heats up. We're seeing a bit of a demand drop off from consumers as they hold on to their cash a little bit more tightly. But they do have advantages over someone like Qantas in terms of capital requirements moving forward. Their fleet's only about 12 years old versus Qantas is 16. So Qantas is going to have to spend a little bit of money, you know, getting newer planes, whereas Virgin really doesn't have to do that. But, you know, airlines is not the space I'm really in. They're very, you know, heavily regulated and capital intensive industry. So really can't be price makers and don't have the quality of other companies.
And finally, you know, we're still in a volatile environment, my investment environment. What are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Look, throughout the whole tariff ordeal, my communication to my clients was this was not the end of the world. Markets will recover. We know what happened during COVID and, you know, the GFC and that, if you go back further than that. So to look at it as more of an opportunity. So our strategy around that was to trickle money into the market little by little and not all at once. That means we don't get caught out if there's a bit of a rug pull on the markets or the markets ran away like they did, because you never know where the top is or the bottom is. No one, you know, rings a bell or taps you on the shoulder to let you know. So at the moment, if we're speaking right now, you do have to be a lot pickier when it comes to stocks and what you're buying and holding. So I think if you're willing to hold longer term, I think the resources, energy spaces look really good value here. The multiples are right down, and the backdrop, the fundamental backdrop behind them is only getting better by the day. The healthcare sector and names like CSL and Cochlear have underperformed and I think look really good for longer term holds. The data center space, such as Goodman Group and NextDC, we saw during the Q1 earnings reports, the hyperscalers like Microsoft and Google were extremely bullish on the demand side for their AI and data center services and only expanding their spend there. So things should pick up again for them. And in the discretionary space, I mean, if we're going to get cuts later in the second half of this year, companies like JB Hi-Fi are looking a bit overvalued here, but there are other names like, you know, West Farmers, Flight Center, ARB Corp, etc., which are looking better value in the discretionary retail space if consumers are going to start to loosen their purse strings.
That is Heath Most, Portfolio Manager at HLM Investments. Don't forget, if you enjoy the podcast, to give it a rating or review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and to click subscribe.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.